Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Wesley Memorial today, here in person and joining us on Zoom. I'm Janet, the Senior Steward, and I'm delighted to see you all here. For some of you, it may be the first time you've been here, or you may be passing through Oxford or looking for a church family. Please do introduce yourselves and join us for tea, coffee, and conversation in the hall. Your door's to the right here. This week, and we've got a big group of adults and young people away at Birmingham for Three Generate, Children's and Youth Gathering of the Methodist Church. And I'm really looking forward to hearing about all the exciting things they've been doing when they get back. I think you went yesterday, Humphrey and Edmund, which is great. So they need to talk to them if you want to find out more about what it looks like and how it is. Please note that there will not be an anthem this morning, as in the program, and so it's just sort of slightly changed in that bit of the service. We have All We Can envelopes, which we collected last week as part of our harvest celebration. If anyone wants to donate this week, you're very welcome to, and there are baskets, and there is a collection when we do the offering. That'd be great. We're going to continue the theme of creation this week, following our harvest service. Yeah, I'm good. And we're going to be thinking about climate change. And now, Kate is going to introduce Kirsty Smith to you all. Where's Kirsty? There.
I'm sure that a lot of you know Kirsty already because she was a student with us for her undergraduate degree. She's come back and she is the post holder of the joint post that has been created to work with students in the three free churches, ourselves and our partner churches, New Road Baptist and St. Columba's URC. We work very closely together, and what we want to do is promote our profile among students as a welcoming and inclusive community of churches. And Kirsty started work on the 1st of September, and she's just getting into it. So please support Kirsty with your prayers and any help that you can give her. Thank you.
Right, a call to worship, Silver Whispers by Marnie Barrell. Listen, the universe is singing, silver whispers from star to star, the roar of the prayer, golden sun, the blue earth's dance in the darkness. Listen, the great drum, the solemn sea, pulsing under the moon, the heartbeat of the sleeping land, the crackle and snap of air. Listen, the living creatures are singing, each little life lifts its voice, sings, swells, and stutters to a stop, passes its song to children's children. Listen, we who have ears to hear and the gift of speech, love the song, gather it up and sing it. Bring words of worship and wonder. Sing for the sun and stars. Sing for the earth and all its creatures. Tell out, shout, the beauty and bounty of it. Sing creation's song to the Creator. And now we're going to sing hymn number 100 in Singing the Faith, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Takes me back to school.
Amen.
So in a moment, Liz is going to read the creation story from the Storyteller Bible from Genesis. And there will be some slides on the screen. Can you see the screen from there? That's fine. Good, excellent. Thank you, Liz.
In the beginning, at first, there wasn't anything at all, nothing. So God set to work, but he didn't use his hands or a special machine. He spoke, that's all. He said, "I'd like some light." And there was light, brighter than a summer morning or 1,000 Christmas candles. God spoke again. He said, "Sky, I'd like some sky and some water underneath." And sure enough, there it was, the bright blue sky with the dark blue heavens above it and the blue-green sea below. "Earth," that's what God said next, hard and firm, as if he really meant it. And the blue-green waters parted, and there was dry land underneath, great patches of it, dirt, black and brown, here and there, all over the world. "We need some colour," God whispered, as if he was thinking out loud, and quivering with excitement, green, growing things crept right up out of the dark earth, then burst into blossom. Red, orange, and blue. Pine trees and palm trees. Rose bushes and blackberry bushes. Tulips and chrysanthemums. God shouted next, "Day, shining sun. Night, shining moon. Bright, shining stars." And there they were. For morning and evening, summer and winter, time and heat and light. After that, God called to the sky as if he were expecting some kind of an answer. "Come forth, flying things," he cried. And through the clouds they came, flying high and flying low, flying large and flying small, eagles and insects, hummingbirds and hawks. Then God called to the sea, "Come forth, splashing things." And they came to him too, leaping right up through the waves, sailfish and swordfish, dolphins and trout, great grinning humpback whales. Finally, God called to the earth, "Come forth, walking things, crawling things, running, hopping, climbing things." And sure enough, they came, up from burrows, down from trees, out of the high grass, and across the open plains. Now everything was ready, good and ready. So God spoke again. "Man and woman," is what he said, as if he were calling the names of his very best friends. And out of the dust came Adam and Eve to enjoy all that God had made, to take care of it for him and to talk with him. "This is the way things ought to be," God said at last. "This is what I call good."
Thank you, Liz. So, adults and children, Ed and Humphrey want to join in, but I have been looking at various things this week to do with creation, and I thought I'd educate myself with some information about the smallest and the largest mammal. So, There are some amazing facts. Anyone know what the smallest mammal is? Yes, Edmund. You are absolutely correct. I found it as the Etruscan shrew, but David Bald also told me it was called the pygmy shrew. So, do you know any facts about the pygmy shrew? Shall I tell you some facts? So, it's the smallest living mammal. It's quite widespread, North Africa, some places in Europe, Maltese Islands. They're not a threatened species overall, but they're generally quite uncommon, and they are endangered in some countries. Their skull size is the smallest in the world among mammals. It has a body length of about 4 centimetres, and it weighs between 1.6 and 2.4 grams. So you can see it on the screen. It looks bigger than that there, but that is definitely one. They're not only the smallest mammal, but they're also one of the fastest in the world. And they are under threat in some places, because of human activity, particularly the destruction of their nesting grounds and habitats as a result of farming. And they're very sensitive to weather changes, such as cold winters and dry periods. So what about the biggest mammal, the largest mammal? Any ideas, Edmund? Largest mammal? Ooh. The blue whale. Did anyone else know that? Lots of people maybe know that. What I didn't realise in my ignorance is that dinosaurs are nowhere near as big as blue whales, or were nowhere near as big as blue whales. Far bigger than any dinosaur, the blue whale is the largest animal to be seen. An adult blue whale, and bear in mind you're 1.6 grams and you're 4 centimetres, an adult blue whale can grow to a massive 30 metres long, weigh more than 180,000 kilograms, which is about the same as 40 elephants or 30 Tyrannosaurus rex. Oxygen is pumped around its body, an enormous body, by an equally massive four-chambered heart, which weighs about 900 kilograms, and is the size, wait for it, of a mini car. You see minis going around, don't you, on the roads? Well, apparently that is the size of a blue whale's heart, and it beats once every 10 seconds, so loud that it can be heard from 3 kilometres away using sonar equipment. It's one of nature's most magnificent and graceful beings. It's louder, larger, longer, and heavier than any other living creature. And it's a multi-record breaker. So I want us to think this week about how varied our world is. Nature, creatures, mammals, insects, reptiles, birds, amphibians. We've got so much to be thankful for, and we must remember to say thank you to God and never take the world we live in for granted. I'm going to say a prayer now. It says, "Thank you for ordinary things, for ordinary wonderful things," by Richard Sharples. Thank you, God, for the colour of tomatoes and beetroot, for the different colours and shapes and fragrances of flowers, and grubby potatoes and funny-shaped carrots, for the goodness of earth itself. Thank you, God, for the taste of apples from the tree, of blackberries picked straight from the hedgerow, for the glossiness of conkers and acorns. Thank you, God, for the smell of baking cakes and real coffee, for the smell of wood smoke and damp leaves, for the lights of home on a dark evening. Thank you, God, for the kiss of a dog's wet nose and for the purring contentedness of a cat. Thank you, God, for each unique human being across the world. For all of these wonderful things, we thank you, God. May we never forget to give thanks to you, maker and giver of all. And now we're going to say a blessing for the children. So all together, the Lord be with you. Have fun. We're now going to sing another hymn, Singing the Faith, number 481, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want.
The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit the end of them, and nothing is hidden from its heat.
Am I switched on? Yes. Good. So recently, when I was reading the 23rd Psalm, I was really struck by the verses, which I don't know why, never really occurred to me before. He makes me lie in pastures green, and he leads me beside the still waters. Out in nature, God with me. Being out and about in nature is therapeutic. People often talk about feeling close to God in nature and the awesomeness of the world around them. And I've been doing some research this week about what is said about creation from different, all sorts of different sources, and found it really interesting. Being in nature, lifting our spirits. The Mental Health Foundation reports, regarding mental health benefits, nature has a very wide definition. It can mean green spaces like parks, woodlands, or forests, and blue spaces like rivers, wetlands, beaches, or canals. It also includes trees on an urban street, private gardens, verges, and even indoor plants or window boxes, and much more. Surprisingly, even watching nature documentaries is good for our mental health. This is great news, as it means the benefits of nature can be made available to so many of us, no matter where we live. I was thinking how fortunate we are in Oxford. Close to the centre, we can find green spaces. Christchurch Meadow, University Parks, Port Meadow were the three that sprung to my mind. There was also an item on the BBC News app this week about it being a year since the sycamore gap tree at Hadrian's Wall was cut down. I don't know, some of you may have seen this. The tree was 150 years old. Amazingly now, from that tree, there are around 100 saplings, some measuring over 1.5 meters high, and around 9 grafts and budded plants, which are genetic copies of the original tree. The tree was 150 meters tall, 49 feet, when it was felled. Now, 49, to mark the 49 feet of the saplings, are going to be released to communities by the National Trust in a scheme called Tree of Hope. One of these will be going to Backwell, near Bristol, in memory of Fergus, a young man who died of bone cancer at the age of 12. His mother says, since his death, nature has been a constant source of strength to the family, its power to regenerate and console. The National Trust has said that it wants these saplings to be symbols of hope and healing. I thought that was really beautiful. I don't know whether anyone else read that, but that the tree is that symbol of hope and healing. So something else I discovered this week is that each year, from September the 1st to October the 4th, which is the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, many Christian denominations unite for a worldwide celebration of prayer and action to protect our common home, And it's called The Season of Creation. And there's a celebration booklet on the internet that I found. The organizers say, this is a special season where we celebrate God as creator and acknowledge creation as the divine continuing act that summons us as collaborators to love and care for the gift of all that is created. As followers of Christ from around the globe, we share a common call to care for creation. We are co-creators, creatures and part of all that God has made. Our well-being is interwoven with the well-being of the earth. We rejoice in this opportunity to safeguard our common home and all beings who share it. So the season finished on Friday, but the theme for the one that's just passed was to hope and act with creation. The group also focus on the threats to our planet and say, the suffering of creation is all too evident today as we reflect on climate change. While the cause is clear, the solutions are difficult to achieve. We have been consuming beyond our means, extracting fossil fuels at a rate that the planet's ecosystem cannot sustain. We now need a global effort to pull together to create a future using quite different industrial and economic models to those that we have relied upon previously. Many governments, including our own, describe the climate situation as an emergency. Some of you may have seen the few times that Jack Godfrey's musical, This Is a Love Story, has been performed, and hopefully it will be performed more in the future. It tells a love story between two characters, Earth and humanity. From first sparks to power couple status, then to infidelities of astronomical proportions, the universe has never seen a match like this. When things turn toxic, can Earth and humanity still see a future together? This Is a Love Story shines a fresh light on the climate crisis in our relationship with the planet. It's very lively, so it's got a sort of pop theme, but certainly makes you think. Hamish Lees, who is the implementation officer for the Methodist Church's Action for Hope project, funded by the Benefact Trust, says, and you can read this in the magazine, Connection. Thank you, Kate. The church is on a journey towards net zero carbon emissions by 2030. This is a really challenging target, which will require action across the connection, but is key to our role in God's mission. Climate change is a global problem, and we can sometimes feel that we can't make it much difference as individuals. But by joining together with others in our communities, we can have a bigger impact. So there's an article in the magazine about a church that has been working towards Eco Church awards. So it's well worth a read. I also discovered, lots of discoveries this week for me, that the original three-word carbon footprint slogan, reduce, reuse, recycle, has been expanded to 5 R's. And if you read further, it could also 7 R's. But so refuse, reduce, reuse, repurpose, and recycle. And the Michelin Guide says, following the 5 R's, will help you make better choices. Refusing and reducing means you'll be bringing less into your home. Reusing and repurposing stops new items from being made and old items from being wasted. And recycling deals with what's left, now hopefully a lesser amount, thanks to the first four steps. So it sounds a bit complicated, but I think I know that lots of people here do lots to support and lessen their carbon footprint. And in the Oxford Methodist Circuit, churches are committed to working towards improving our carbon footprint and working together to be as eco-friendly as possible. Here at Wesley Memorial, we have an active eco-church team, and we've been awarded the bronze and silver awards and now working towards the eco-church gold award. Among other things, we've done lots of different things, but we've made changes to our lighting with LED lights. We use fair trade products, and we're at the present time investigating cleaner, more sustainable ways to heat our building. Our front and back gardens, though very small, using peat-free organic compost, bring joy and a space in nature on our site. In our daily lives, many of us have changed the way that we live and reduced our individual carbon footprints. So it's something to think about. Is there something that I can change? Something that I could do? Someone I can join with to make a difference? Just small changes in our habits make a big difference overall. And finally, a word from the Most Reverend Justin Welby, the former Archbishop of Canterbury. This was part of the Seasons of Creation that I found this. As people of faith, we don't just state our beliefs, we live them out. One belief is that we find purpose and joy in loving our neighbours. Another is that we are charged by our Creator with taking good care of his creation. The moral crisis of climate change is an opportunity to find purpose and joy and to respond to our Creator's charge. Reducing the causes of climate change is essential to the life of faith. Let us be quiet for a few moments. We are now going to say a prayer that has a response. Some of you will be familiar with this prayer, I think. Words will be on the screen. It's called The Way That We Live by Ruth Burgess. The ways we live sisters and us, our brothers. The ways we live affects our parents, affects our children. The ways we live affects our friends, affects total strangers. The way we live affects our street, affects our country. The way we live affects forests and mountains, affects rivers and oceans. The way we live affects plants and animals, affects stars and planets. We can choose and change the way we live. God, help us to get things right. Amen. And now we're going to sing again, Singing the Faith, number 729, Touch the Earth Lightly. Lead us in our prayers of intercession.
In our prayers of intercession, we will use the normal response, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, by your life and by your words, you taught us how to pray. You said, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the beauty and perfect balance of creation. Help us to touch the earth lightly and to show that our church cares passionately about caring for the planet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, you fed many hungry people when they least expected it. We pray for all who are hungry today. We are glad to support the work of all we can at our harvest and all the other agencies of relief and development. We pray that they may succeed in bringing many people comfort and self-sufficiency. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you healed many sick people. We pray for all who are ill, any who are needing treatment, and that it may come soon without long, stressful waiting. We pray for doctors and nurses and all other medical staff, both here in the UK and in the wider world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." We pray for the leaders of the nations at this time, and especially for our government on this Homelessness Sunday, that it may work for a just and equal sharing of resources. We pray for homeless people in Oxford and for our own work with the Oxford Winter Night Shelter opening again in January for 3 months. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Lord, we pray again for peace, as we pray without ceasing, because there is never a moment when this prayer is not urgent. We ask you to inspire peacemakers to intervene in Palestine, Ukraine, Yemen, and all those other areas where people still fear death and destruction in innocent communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Dear Lord, bring comfort to any who are in mourning at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you have so richly blessed us with life, with love and joy and hope in the midst of despair. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Help us to be the light of the world, sharing with others that which we have received, boldly proclaiming the good news of your love, finding the seeds of your kingdom within us, and letting your way grow in our lives and throughout our world. Amen. We join together in the Lord's Prayer, which will be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're now going to take up an offering. There's no pressure to put anything in the baskets at all. We know that people give in lots of different ways. If you prefer to give electronically, we do have a card reader over there. But we're very, very grateful for all that you do. thank you, Lord, for these gifts. And we offer ourselves in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to sing our final hymn from Singing the Faith, number 727, God in His Love for Us Lent Us This Planet. Please do join us for refreshments through the doors to your right. And we say a blessing together. May God, who established the dance of creation, who marveled at the lilies of the field, who transforms chaos to order, lead us to transform our lives and the church to reflect God's glory in creation. Amen.